Okay, tonight we're going to be in Genesis. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. Like, what about Ecclesiastes? God had a different plan tonight. So we're just going to go with God. How about that? Genesis chapter 24. Stand when you find that. We'll read our text. Let's begin in verse 61. Genesis 24, verse 61. The Bible says, And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, the servant, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai Roy, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servants had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had, rather, that he had done. Verse 30, 67 here. And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. Help us to hear from you, God. We need to hear from you. We'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. We're going to be talking about critical principles on learning to wait on God. So that's the nature of the song. Critical principles on learning to wait on God. Grant and I, it was last night, we were doing our father-son time, and we're going through a specific book written by a man named Jerry Ross, who wrote the book called A Teenager's Guide to Character, Success, and Happiness. And so Grant and I, once a week, when we have our time, we read a chapter out of that book. And already I had been sort of stirred up about my message. Not that I don't feel confident about the next message in Ecclesiastes. It's an important message to me personally. God has already been working on my heart about what we're going to be talking about in Ecclesiastes for the past about 3 weeks. And I just felt stirred in me to hold off on that message. And so then I said, okay, Lord. And that's happened quite a few times in the stint of my ministry. But it does beg the next question. Okay, so this is what we were planning to do on Wednesday. So what do you want us to do on Wednesday? Because now I feel like nervous. I feel a little bit of pressure, a little bit of stress, because now the sermon that's already completely ready is on hold, and I'm not even sure what we're going to do now. So then I sit down with Grant with that already on my mind, not thinking that I was going to see something in my study with Grant that was going to stimulate us in a particular direction for tonight. But it's precisely what God did, because the next chapter that we dealt with, Grant and I, that is, was on prudence. And in the midst of that study, it was talking about patience and waiting on God, two things that we have a hard time with. In that, let me read to you a direct quote right from the introduction of that chapter. As he's relating to teenagers, he says, "For you teens who have your driver's license, have you ever gotten behind an elderly person who is carefully going the speed limit?" The implication there is you're getting impatient and they're going a little bit too slow. He says, "How long did it take for you to get frustrated with them? How long before you look for a chance to pass them?" Here's the question he says, he poses in the book. He says, why do you think that it is that you're paying in insurance what you're paying as a teenager per month, and the elderly person is paying what they're paying per month in insurance, which is significantly different? It's because this one issue, there has been statistical evidence that purports that teenagers tend to be impatient and always in a hurry, not so happy about waiting. Yeah. He goes on, he says, one of the weaknesses of youth is haste. Have you ever heard this? Getting the cart before the horse? I think it was an older person watching a teenager. That's where that quote came from. That's just my opinion about that. He goes on, he says, young people are always in a hurry. There is merit to learning to slow down. It takes maturity to slow down, to calm your emotions, to calm your actions, to collect your faculties, to focus your soul so that you think the right thoughts, feel the right emotions, say the right things, make the right decisions requires an attitude that the Bible calls prudence, he says. It is the antithesis of haste, and it will prevent you from making life-altering mistakes. We say amen to teenagers in that. But how about you and me? Because we also have a hard time waiting for God sometimes. When God wants to work in us, in our Christian life, and it requires that we be patient to let God work and to let God do His work, we have a hard time waiting. Webster's 1828 says, to wait means this, to stay, to rest in expectation, to stop, to remain stationary until the arrival of some person or some event. For example, he says, Webster says in 1828, like waiting for your wife to get ready to go. Waiting and waiting for your wife. And I've added emphasis to that. You wait for the mail to arrive. We invited the Raymers over to our house. It's been a few weeks ago. And they're running a couple minutes late. And my kids were on the edge of the couch looking out the window. And it was time. What do you mean? It was 1 minute past. You should have been there. Where are they, Dad? I'm like, I don't know. This is taking forever. Guys, 1 minute. Give them a break. They'll be here, you know. And every minute was like an hour for them, because waiting for a young person and waiting sometimes for us, it's not always easy. To wait, listen, the last definition I'll quote to you out of Webster's 1828, he says this, to wait is to rest in expectation and patience. Psalm 130 verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Proverbs 20:22 says, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee. The common problem that we have is God's unfolding plan in our life is to wait for God to unfold His plan for our life. We want things to happen quicker than they happen. Like if we're having financial stress, then we want God to deal with that financial stress, and we want Him to do it yesterday. Especially if we tithe. Like if you tithe and you're having financial stress, you're thinking, wait a second, you know, I'm doing my part, God. You said you'd do your part, and it's getting a little bit close to the 11th hour. You know, we want things to happen quicker than they are sometimes. I need a raise at work, or God, I need your help to stop wasting all of my money, you know. Some of us might not be willing to admit that, but it happens, I think, sometimes. God, I need you to work on my spouse. And the whole process of watching God work in your spouse for you is a real challenge. Why? Because it takes longer than you want it to take sometimes. And you're thinking, man, this is a really frustrating issue that I'm dealing with. I sure wish that things would progress a little bit faster with them. They aggravate me in this particular area, you know. And the young people, I think about young people sometimes, and you know, at that age, whenever they're courting and they're going to get married. I was at Heartland a few weeks ago, and there's all these college students that are about to graduate, and then they're going to get married, and just seeing them hang around each other, and they just sit on the picnic table outside, and they just stare at each other, and they don't even talk. They're just sort of looking at each other, and you know, so they're excited about getting married, and there's nothing wrong with that. I remember those days, and we still have our times, you know, when we stare at each other. You know, no. God work in my spouse, this is taking too long. You know, that's what the young marrieds can look forward to, right? They forgot that they didn't live together whenever they really liked each other like that. And then they started living together and realized, whoa, you leave messes everywhere, you know. I don't like that. And it gets on your nerves. But how about spiritual issues? You know, when your spouse has a spiritual problem or a bad habit, a bad tendency, a bad behavior, and you as a spouse, you're thinking, I'm not sure how much longer I even really want to deal with this. And that becomes an issue sometimes. And waiting and waiting and waiting, we tell ourselves, they're never going to change. They're never going to change. And we start to tell ourselves that. It happens sometimes with our teenagers. I think for me, it's more of a nervousness about waiting for my kids. You know, they're starting to become teenagers. This is something it's like I knew that it was going to happen. All those years, we never had teenagers in our church. Not really. We never had really a youth group. We had young kids, and now we've watched them grow up, haven't we? And now we have this youth group that has a whole bunch of teenagers in it. And they act like teenagers. And so I'm nervous about that. It's more of a nervousness than a frustration about waiting for them to change. But I do want them to serve God. I do want them to decide to serve God, like I said last week, because God's working in them and they want to serve God in here, not just because I'm telling them to do that. And waiting for God to work in our young people, it can be a task, can't it, sometimes? And our children, you know, we think that our children will never change, and certain kids have certain tendencies, you know, and they have reputations that go along with those tendencies. And you think, oh yeah, we can watch so and so, or maybe a couple of kids, oh we can watch so and so, and then it's like, how about this one? No, we're not watching that one, you know, him or her, whoever it is. So there's reputation that come along with certain young ones, and we wonder, are they ever going to change? Is something ever going to get better? And it becomes harder and harder and harder to wait on God in the area of our young people. Also, our health and fitness. Health meaning we have health problems on one side, and we wonder, you know, is it going to get any better? Am I going to recover? Are we going to get past this health issue? We even talked about some health issues a minute ago. And then how about the health issue of us needing to get our health in control? Like some of us, we don't have serious health problems yet. But if you forecast how you're living to the next 5 or more years, where is how you're living right now going to take you? And so we see that. And we say things, I need to get it together. I need to change my eating habits. I need to change my physical fitness. I don't need to be able to do 34 pull-ups, but I at least need to be able to, you know, do some exercises on a regular basis. And so then, you know, and then we start doing things. And we do it for like a week or 2 weeks or a month even. And we don't see the progress. So what do? It's taking too long. So it's not doing any good, we tell ourselves. We throw in the towel and we quit, not willing to wait. And that's an example of how it's hard to wait sometimes. It's hard to wait when things are going a certain way in the church, and we can get frustrated about that, and we want things to be corrected, and we wonder if it will. Or if our pastor is, something isn't right there. And we know that we're not really the right one to say something to him about it. I understand that that happens. But it seems like it's never going to change, you know. And it's hard to wait. Or our youth pastor. Or how about our own spiritual life and our own growth? My anger issue. I think some of us tonight have an anger issue. And we wonder, because we get tired of our own issue with anger, and so we say things like, am I ever going to get this right? Am I ever going to stop this? And I can come to the altar, I can make a decision for God, and it seems like it's never going to really get fixed. It's never going to get changed. You know, we have a hard time with patience there. And forgiveness. God, will you teach me how to be a forgiving person? And then suddenly bitterness crawls back into our heart, and we just struggle forgiving suddenly. boldness and confidence, which is the reverse. This is what Brother Tim was talking about. Boldness and confidence to, when God touches us, to say something, to invite somebody, to send a text message, to make a call, especially when you know God's touching you about it. That requires confidence. It requires boldness. I wonder if we're ever going to have that, or the knowledge of the Bible. You ever feel frustrated because you read the Bible and you don't understand it? And you read the Bible and you don't understand it? And you're thinking, when is there going to be the day when I start reading the Bible and I do understand it? And we get frustrated with that process. We need all of these things. And we need, can I say that tonight we need to remember that God is working? Did you know that God is working in ways in our lives that we don't always see? And as a matter of fact, He is certainly working in ways that you don't see, that I don't see. Now, there are ways, there are things, if we got a paper out and we analyzed our week or our day, then we would be able to identify things that God's doing, ways that God's working. We could write it out. But even with that, God's working in ways that you don't see. He's doing that even now. And so we need to learn how to wait on God. Our story is a beautiful love story of Rebekah and Isaac. It's one of the most amazing love stories in the Bible, just because of the way that God put this couple together. It's a biblical episode showing the wisdom of dealing with romance by waiting for God. Tongue twister. Look at verse 3. Jump back to verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord. Abraham's talking to the servant who's going on this mission. The God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Verse 4. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. So that's the mission. The mission is Isaac needs a wife, and God is using Abraham to give this task to this servant, who's a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit, by the way. The servant doesn't have a name. The servant is like the work of the Holy Spirit, who works to navigate and guide us in life, to bring us to union with just the right things that God wants us to be involved with. And in this story, a romantic relationship. God led to Rebekah. God led the servant to Rebekah. Look at verse 27. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So Rebekah was the one that God had led the servant to. She was willing to be she trusted God enough to surrender herself and to follow the guide that was put in her path. It's amazing that she was willing to say, "I trust that God is working in this." And she left her home and she went with the servant of Abraham. Look at verse 61. Jump all the way to 61, which is where our passage begins. "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way." So that's the picture of God preparing in Rebekah through the servant to bring her to Isaac, who is the one who's waiting. Now, what was Isaac doing when he was waiting? An important question. Look at verse 64. "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes," note, "and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel." This is where Rebekah and Isaac are meeting each other for the first time. The Bible says she lifted her eyes. What is that? Well, that in this story, that is love at first sight right there. That's what that is. She lifted her eyes and she lighted off of her camel. Verse 65, "For she had said it unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, It is my master. Therefore she took the veil and covered herself." So she knew that it was the man that she was being brought to. She took the veil and covered herself, which is kind of a picture of modesty, isn't it? And there's more to it than just that, but it's a kind of picture of modesty. Can I say that, especially as it relates to romantic relationships, and this is almost a side note to the point we're making today, but if you gentlemen are attracted to a woman because of how she physically is attracting you, then you potentially and largely are in danger of getting involved with the wrong person. Amen to that. And how about this? Young ladies and ladies alike who, and if teenagers were in here, I'd really get into this right now. But ladies, if you have to dress in a certain way to attract somebody, there is a good chance that you're attracting the wrong one. And so that's pictured here. And she covers herself. And she lights from the animal. Look at 67. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. So, and he loved her. Note that Isaac was 40 years old. And so the implication there is he waited until, and we know that he was 40 years old. If you look at chapter 25, verse 20, it says that. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah. So the point here is not that you need to wait until you're 40. The point here is that it doesn't matter your age. We all need to learn to wait on God. So we can learn from Isaac. We can learn how to wait. Two principles that we'll see in Isaac that are critical for any person who wants to learn how to wait on God. So number one, there's two principles, and we'll go through this quick. Number one, faith that God will do it in His time. Faith, Isaac had this. And it was a motivation that helped him to wait. And that is, in God's time, God's going to do it. I know that. Did you know I can wait for as long as I need to if I have faith that God's going to do it in His time? Look at verse number 62. Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi. I'm sorry, I had trouble with that. For he dwelled in the south country. So he came from the way. One writer said this. Some think that he expected the return of his servant about this time and went out for the purpose of meeting them. But he also went on to say this. It should seem to us, rather than that, that he went out on a different errand to do something, and to take advantage of the silent evening of solitude in the field, he went for meditation and prayer. And so whether it's the first one or the second one, that he was expecting the servant to return with Rebekah, or he didn't know who, but whoever it was, and or that he went into a field to do an errand and took time to spend time with God, we can know that he had a walk with God and a faith that God was going to bring him just the right one. We can learn to wait on God when we know and have faith that God's going to do what He's going to do in our life in His time. We cave in so often, we lose heart, we faint, we quit because we're not seeing things happen quick enough. God, you're not working quick enough. I think I'm doing what you want me to do, but I'm losing heart here because it's not happening quick enough. And we do that. God was the cause of all of these events. Look at verse 27, the last part of that verse. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Did you see that? 27, the last phrase, the Lord led me. Now jump all the way to 48. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way. So God was working behind the scenes, and here's where Isaac is. Isaac is trusting that God is working behind the scenes, that God's going to navigate him through this whole thing. And I can say tonight with confidence, not only in my own life, but I can encourage you in your own life, that you can trust God because He's working behind the scenes to work out in your life His perfect plan. Remember our memory verse for this week? I meant to ask that earlier. I forgot. It's be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the way, if you don't know what conformed means, you should look it up. It means to change yourself to be like, to pattern yourself to the world. To be transformed is to become an entirely different person. And God does that in us. But listen to the last part of that verse. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what God wants to do in you. He wants to lead you to His will for your life. He wants to allow that things in your life happen, and He wants to take you through things in life to bring you to His will for your life. He's working. And that's a critical principle for us to learn how to wait for God. Faith that God's going to do it in His time. Did you know it'll be easier for you to wait on God if you knew, if you trusted that God was going to accomplish His perfect will in your life if you'll just wait for Him? He wants to do something marvelous in your life. It's taken too long. I don't want to wait any longer. And that lack of faith often gets us in a place where we'll make decisions apart from the will of God, apart from trusting God, and then it messes up what God wants to do in us. So number one is faith that God will do it in His time. Number two, and last, focus on your personal walk with God. This is the second critical principle for you to learn how to wait on God, and we see it in Isaac. Focus on your personal walk with God. Look at verse 63. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. So the word meditate means that he was thinking and communing with God. He was thinking of the things of God. He was thinking of the scriptures. He was thinking of the principles of God, meditating. And the implication there is he is communing with God. So he's having a closeness to God. It's almost as though a time of worship or a time of devotion, a time of just spending that personal time with God. The Bible says that as he was waiting, he communed with God, and then he lifted his eyes, and the Bible says the camels were coming. So in other words, while he was waiting, he was focused on his personal relationship with God, and then one day he lifted his eyes, and God was bringing the camels. God was doing it. Your personal walk with God is a critical anchor to your life. We need to learn here that the key principle that will help you to wait on God is reading and studying and meditating and praying every day. Don't just read your Bible, but think about your Bible. Think about the Scripture. This needs to be said tonight. Because I think if we did a survey and you were required to give an honest answer, that some of us, maybe more than I would want to know, don't read our Bibles like we should. Listen, you are missing a critical element of learning how to wait on God if you don't have a personal walk with Him. You don't read your Bible, you don't think about it. Meditate. He meditated. Communing. Praying. You know, prayer is a very important aspect of our personal walk. And it's not something that we just need to do like for 15 seconds or at mealtimes. No, I pray. I prayed before I ate my breakfast. And that's not communion with God. We need to have time when we kneel and we go to the Lord and we seek His face and we pray. We kneel and we spend time with God. I got a lot on my schedule today, you know. Did you know that you could be busy, but you're never too busy? You're never too busy. You're never too busy to do the most important part of your day. Personal time with God. Psalm 1:2 says this, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Meditate is not just reading, it means you think about it. That's why we do, and it's one reason. It's not that you have to utilize only this resource, but it's why we send a verse of the week, because I want to challenge you to meditate. I want you to think about it every day and throughout the day. You know, think about, okay, be not conformed to this world. That's kind of a big deal. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God will help us as we meditate on His Word. He'll strengthen us in our faith as we meditate on His Word. And as we get on our knees and we commune with God, then what God does in us is He strengthens us and He helps us to learn through these elements to wait on God, to be patient on the work of God, to let the work of God unfold, to let God do what He's going to do. We all need to learn how to wait on God. We all need to learn how to stop getting the cart before the horse. We all need to learn how to stop talking, to not speak before it's time to speak. We all need to learn how to let God work in people instead of us bulldozing and making people change. Patience in waiting for God is key. And if you want to learn how to wait on God, then you need these two elements. You need to have faith that God's going to do it in His time. You need to have a focus on your personal walk with God. Am I communing with God every day? Am I spending time with God every day? You know, you'll forget, I think, if you don't have these elements that God's working. He's already working. And I've seen God, and you and I, haven't we? We've seen God do some pretty amazing things. I mean, God has transformed some lives that I'm still just in awe about. Aren't you? And He did it. But we had to wait. And some of us are still, we still need it, you know. Some of us have some things in our life, we've been waiting already. But I want to encourage you to keep waiting. Because if you wait on God, then one day, one day you're just going to be communing with God. You're going to be focused on your walk with God, and you're going to through the whole thing that God, You're working. I don't quite see it, but I know You're working, and I'm just going to focus my attention on You. And then one day you're going to lift your eyes, and the camels are coming. The camels are coming. God's going to do it, but you got to wait for Him. You got to wait, and you can wait without kind of messing it up if you have those two things. So let me encourage you tonight. Let me encourage you. Let me ask you a few questions. Let me give you some statements and then questions, and then we'll be done. Statement number one, remember God is working even when it looks like He's not. Statement number two, don't let your mind tell you God won't do it. Statement number three, focus on your walk with God and wait for God to do the rest. Question number one, have you been tempted to think that something is wrong because it's taking too long? Question number two, have you been reading your Bible and praying every day, communing with God? Have you been taking time to go to your knees? Or at least if you're not able to go to your knees, to bow your head and your heart in a calmness and in prayer, go to the Lord. If you're struggling in these areas, my guess is you're also having a hard time being patient and waiting. So let's be challenged tonight to wait on God. Father, we thank You that we can pray and we can ask You to work in these needed areas of our life of waiting and with endurance and strength, knowing that You're working and that You're going to work it out in Your time. And we trust that. And we don't have to get in a hurry and to be hasty about all this, that You can do it and You are working. So help us tonight to have that faith, and help us tonight if we're We're not spending time with you like we should. We're not communing like we should. Or perhaps we wonder, we struggle with trusting that it's going to work out. And if those struggles are there, Lord God, would you help us to address those issues tonight? I pray that your spirit has already worked in someone's heart tonight. Pray that you'd help them to be encouraged and that they would decide to just refocus their attention in this area. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.